The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Frank James Bailey, voice actor and writer. As a voice actor, you might have heard my voice on Channel Frederator videos. As a writer, I've written 3 books about a female superhero named Turkana. And today I want you to join me on the PVD cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 180. Wow, I can't believe 180 episodes of this podcast. I mean, 6 years ago, I could barely get one episode out, let alone 179 more. But here I am. It's time for us to talk about the Royal Rumble, because guess what? We're on the road to WrestleMania, wrestling fans. That's right, this Sunday is the Royal Rumble, which is the big pay-per-view event that kicks off WrestleMania season. Two individuals are going to go to WrestleMania getting title opportunities. Of course, the winner of the men's Royal Rumble match and the winner of the ladies' Royal Rumble match, they're going to get opportunities at WrestleMania to challenge for the main titles in the WWE. And so, as usual, when we're talking about one of the big four pay-per-views, I'm going to be joined by DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand, and we're going to share our insights, our predictions, our thoughts on what might happen this weekend at the Royal Rumble. And, you know, for me, this is the fun part of the podcast, is to give my thoughts, my predictions on what may happen. It's kind of cool to look back after the event happens and see if I was right or if I was wrong. I think that the big thing that a lot of people look forward to with the Royal Rumble is what surprises occur, because there's always some surprise entrance in both of those Royal Rumble matches. So should be a very interesting card. We're also going to talk a little bit about the NXT TakeOver event that is slated for Saturday in Phoenix, Arizona. That's also a stacked card. So with that, let's talk a little bit about the big news that dropped earlier this week about the PVD cast. On Tuesday, I was happy to announce that the PVD cast would be the official podcast partner of The Third Period. Now, if you don't know what that is, it's a hockey movie that's going to be filmed and produced here in Columbus, Ohio. And probably the best way to understand this project is to go back into the archives of the PVD cast and listen to episode number 175. Steph Grieger, the screenwriter and filmmaker behind this project, was on, and we talked all about it. And so if you're a new listener and you're like, I don't know what you're talking about, John, go over, listen to that episode. It took place at the end of November. It's a great episode, by the way. In fact, it's number one for 2018. It's the number one most listened to, most downloaded episode. And I'm happy. I'm really happy for that. And I'm also very happy and very excited for the chance to be partnering up with The Third Period. I'm really looking forward to bringing some new, fresh content that's related to this project to the PVD cast. And all I got to say is right now, just keep your eyes on the Facebook page for the PVD cast. That's, of course, facebook.com/PVDcast. And check out me on Twitter at PVDMVP. That's where I'm going to be posting all of these updates as to what's going to be happening over the next several months here when it comes to this joint collaboration, if you will, between The Third Period, 11-1 Productions, and of course the PVD cast. So before we get to the Royal Rumble preview, let me real quickly tell you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. As you know, there are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And since we're talking about The Third Period, you know it's combining two of my passions, movies and hockey, and I know for certain that Audible has plenty of books on that topic. Whether you're talking about movies or whether you're talking about hockey, whether you're talking about both, they have literally thousands and thousands of books on those two topics. But for you, the listeners of the PVD cast, all you gotta do is you gotta go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast and you can get a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial to give you a chance to check out their great service. So once again, audibletrial.com/PVDcast is the place to go for your free audiobook. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, it's time to preview this weekend's Royal Rumble. All right, let's get ready to talk about the Royal Rumble. I, of course, am being joined by my pro wrestling pundits, Ringside Ran. How are you?
I'm happy to be here. It's good to get out of the house and do something constructive.
DJ Joey Blaze, how are you?
I'm doing well. I kind of feel like I should have notes, like my hands feel empty. Ran walks in here, Captain DFTL, and he has all these notes, and But I like it. I like it. He's well prepared. I have
some notes too.
Okay, I have none. Maybe I should have wrote on my hand or something. I don't have any. It's all up here in this vault of knowledge.
All right.
As I point to my large cranium.
I will stump you with one fact tonight, given that challenge.
Well, he'll stump you because we're going to talk about NXT.
You were talking about stumpies earlier with the DFTL crew.
Okay.
That's for the behind-the-scenes episode.
That is. That's for...
PVD Podcast 24. You'd see everything goes on behind the scenes.
Or maybe it's PVD Cast After Dark. Wow, chicka, wow, wow, chicka, wow.
Cow.
Anywho, let's get on into it.
About that.
Let's go on into it here. Let's talk about what we think might happen here this weekend at the Royal Rumble. So here we go. I'm going to start with probably in the way that I have my notes. I have the United States Championship as the ninth match. So let's go with that. Nakamura versus the champion Rusev.
On the pre-show.
On the pre-show, no less. Which is probably going to be again at 5:30. Or
I think it does start at 5:00.
Does it? Oh, God damn it!
So it's so close, but yeah, I think it actually starts Saturday night. Whatever.
As soon as NXT is over.
But what was just said there, though? It's on the pre-show. Right. Why are those two guys? Nakamura had all this build-up at one time. Rusev, all this build-up at one time, and they're on the freaking pre-show. Give me a break.
Is there a thought that we'll watch the pre-show, not knowing if we're going to stick around for the main show? Is this some kind of an appetizer to make us decide to buy it?
You don't have to buy it anymore, do you?
Well, that's what it was with Sunday Night Heat.
Right.
Yeah.
But my point is, though, even shorten some matches, that match needs to be on the main show. So I think it's a discredit to both of them, and I think it's a discredit to the United States title.
Right, right. A title that they're trying to make important.
Yeah, it's supposed to be important. I have a whole thing about that. It's a whole soapbox. But, I mean, it's a disservice. As a fan, it's a disservice to those guys as being a part of the WWE.
Having said that, there are more matches from SmackDown than Raw this time.
You know what? I don't think I noticed that.
There are four SmackDown matches, two Raw, a 205, and the two
Rumble matches. Oh, yeah. Good point on that. I didn't even pay attention to that.
That almost never happens.
Well, what's crazy about that, too, is SmackDown's supposed to be the B show, and you put that many matches on the card.
Right, right. Well, with that being said, who do you think goes over in this, Rusev or Nakamura?
I think Rusev retains just because it's so new. I think he's legitimate enough that he deserves to win. Although Shinsuke Nakamura is so undervalued at this point.
Well, I'm going to agree with you, Rand. I think that the novelty of Rusev being the U.S. champion in this run is still way too fresh to yank it off of him. I think he still retains. And then you ask yourself, where does Nakamura go from here if he does indeed lose?
You know, Rusev never changes. He's never a good guy or a bad guy. It's like it's him.
Well, he's gotten more entertaining. I think they're building a lot off of the whole the Total Divas of him being on there and stuff with him and Lana. I'm going to agree with you on who goes over. I think I agree with Rusev. Here's the thing. I haven't looked. I don't know. I'm not Dave Meltzer. I don't know when these guys' contracts come up. But it almost feels like they're slowly writing Nakamura out because I don't think he's going to be around much longer. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Maybe that's the reason why it's on the pre-show. I would hate to see that. They just don't. They have a talent like that. They just don't know how to use it. But I'm with Rusev, and I disagree with you about changing because I've seen him change as both growing a personality and about his whole look. He used to be this big, thick guy. Like, he's changed his look a little bit. He has more personality. It's a little bit more fun with him. The whole Rusev Day thing has been a fun thing, and they've pushed it and changed it so where the crowd was demanding it more, and it turned him into a face. I say Rusev.
I don't think he changes in the ring. I think he works the same moves. I don't think
he's as dominant in the ring as he used to be. Yeah. Like, I used to, when he came out in his tank at WrestleMania and fought Cena and all that rigmarole, like, he was dominant. They've kind of backed away from it as he's slowly evolved into a face, but
whatever. And I have been a little bit quiet because I'm looking up Nakamura's deal in the WWE ends in February. So,
isn't that ironic?
Yes, Alanis, it is.
And I think one of our listeners out there, Al, him and I had a conversation about that. I firmly believe he is AEW bound.
Well, this is what I found, and this comes from Dave Meltzer, that his contract expires in February, and it's no secret that New Japan Pro Wrestling is interested in signing him. Now, this does come from a post in mid-December, so...
Which is a little bit before the whole AEW stuff really blew up.
Right.
Well, like, the cons are sitting there. They have $6 billion just sitting in the bank.
Sure.
That's not real estate. That's not anything. And they got money to throw at these guys. And I could see them making a splash with Nakamura.
Sure. I think anytime somebody's deal is up or close to up, we're going to hear these rumors.
Yeah, I think that's why he's going to... I think if he loses, I think it's clear at that point.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championship. We have The Bar taking on The Miz and Shane McMahon. DJ Joey Blaze, what do you think about this match?
Well, I was talking to another friend of mine, Nate.
You have two friends.
Yeah, I know. And what's funny is I made that same joke on his Instagram last night about something like that. That's funny. So I was speaking to him, and he's really critical on storyline and stuff like that. And getting into this match, let's build this match. Shane is a nice novelty act, but do we need Shane O'Mac anymore?
No.
At this point, we're on SmackDown. No, and I think all this is just a match to set up Miz turning on Shane, setting up a match at Mania. Clearly, that's what I see. I see The Bar winning, and I see that happening because they're way too good of friends. It's too goody-goody. So, and that is my prediction on this. I think it's kind of cut and dry. Just because you need Shane for a Mania match, they always use him for Mania. And it's something different for The Miz. So that's my take on that.
I agree with you, but I think they go over. I think The Miz and Shane win, and then they still do the whole storyline of those two turning on each other somewhere down the road. Maybe, say, March or, you know...
Possibly an Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, right. They lose the tag straps to somebody else, and that's what causes the break.
One blames the other.
Yeah. But I totally agree with you. I think I'm sick of Shane McMahon. He needs to go back to backstage. We've seen him do some amazing things, don't get me wrong, come WrestleMania time, but it's played out. It's played out.
There's too many guys sitting on the sidelines.
Exactly.
Right now.
Rand, your thought?
I think Shane takes these incredible chances because he doesn't have to work next week.
Well, that's true.
He doesn't have two or three matches a week. He's got one match, some promos, and some airtime, and he can do these things where...
Or gives him time to crash a helicopter and then come back.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, yeah.
No, that's an excellent point for sure.
Yeah, most definitely. But yeah, I see this match as not being pretty good or very good either. I think it's going to be pretty sloppy and not a five-star match, so to speak. Again, another reference to Dave Meltzer. That's three on this show.
Oh my God! Don't be doing making a habit of that.
No, I won't be. Anyways, I mean, unless he sends me a check in the mail. But I digress. Let's go and talk about the WWE Women's Raw Championship. Rousey versus Banks.
I think Sasha's been undervalued for about a year, but a lot of that has to do with the emergence of Becky Lynch and Ronda. I think Sasha's one of the five best there is.
I think this match is going to be more competitive than some people think. I think it's going to be back and forth. I really do. Because I think the way that they've told the tale of how dangerous the bank statement is, I think that they've done a pretty good job of at least setting the ground rules. This is going to be back and forth. This is not going to be a squash. It's not going to be completely one-sided. I don't think that anybody is foolish enough to think that Banks wins. I mean, Rousey's obviously going to win so that we can parlay that into some big match at WrestleMania.
And that's what I'm thinking. Are they slowly building what we, I spoke about, I believe on the last cast I was on for, the Four Horsemen versus the Four Horsewomen.
Right. Right. I totally, I can totally see
the slow build with this match. I don't see, of course, I don't know if we're probably going to talk about TakeOver, and I don't see Baszler losing the title to Bianca Belair, but I think it might be one of her last appearances in NXT because I see them starting to build this.
Mm-hmm.
Because they kind of teased a crazier Ronda on Raw. She had a little bit more
toot
about herself. So, yeah, I think it's in it for the slow build. Ronda wins. Maybe you see something where Bayley might get involved at some point. I don't know, but... Rousey.
Clean. I think Ronda Rousey has been a great surprise to me. When somebody comes in from somewhere else, you don't know what they're going to be. If she would quit smiling when she walks down the ramp.
Yes.
And then click, right. I'm supposed to be mad at somebody. Here's my new facial expression. I've realized when you walk out to a crowd of 10 to 15,000 people cheering you, you like that. But prepare for that backstage. Come out as if you're angry. She's been, I think in ring, she's been incredible.
Could you imagine, so back in the Attitude Era, if Ken Shamrock came
out. Thank you. That's exactly smiling what I was at
everybody.
Gonna say.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ken Shamrock. No, he didn't do that. He came out. They made him a badass. He's a badass referee in the match between Austin and Hart. And then they continued to build his quote-unquote badassery.
Right.
And that's what they should have done with her. Somebody needs a slapper, just like you said. Quit smiling. Quit wearing the face paint. If you're going to wear it, look mean. Don't look like you're ready to, you know, hug everybody. We already have somebody with that gimmick. You don't need to be happy. You just, and that's the thing. And I'm in complete agreement with you because anytime guys have had that crossover, you don't see them coming out smiling like
Dan Severn.
Oh, God. Well, he lacked a personality, though. So
well, that's true. Yeah.
Tank Abbott.
Tank. Well, wait a minute now. When Tank was with Three Count, he had lots of personality.
Oh,
my kids at home, you can Wikipedia that later. Anyways.
that was a great example. Shamrock was a great example.
Yeah, he was.
Could you imagine him coming in, kissing babies, shaking hands, and smiling? His career would have been done in 6 months.
Okay, and I'm just going to say this, too, and I know that this might be a controversial statement, but I want better gear for Ronda Rousey. I always fear and just feel very uncomfortable watching her work in that sports bra. Like, can they not get something that doesn't look like at any minute it's going to fall off? You know, like a boob's going to pop out. Like, it makes me uncomfortable.
Are you saying leave that for other lady wrestlers or just her?
No, just her.
Okay.
I think for her, they need to revamp that gear. That's all I'm saying.
What did she wear in UFC?
Something very similar. But if you look here, well, I don't know if this is not a very good picture I have on the iPad. It's thicker up top in terms of the strap. It's not that stupid spaghetti strap stuff in the back, you know, and cut. It's a different cut. And I think that that's what they need to go to because
not only do we talk about pro wrestling here on the PBD cast, we'll talk about fashion. We don't
that's
care.
Right.
It's 2019. You know, we're modern men. We'll talk about it.
That's right. I'm just saying, you know that they got people back there that are awesome seamstresses, right?
Oh, totally.
Get some new gear, all right? Get a better top.
Sasha's husband is... maybe he's behind us somehow. Maybe.
Who the hell is Sasha?
Sasha Banks.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so Rousey goes over.
Sashi Brown.
my prediction, Rousey goes over. Joe?
Rousey, by the way, that was the guy that used to be part of the Browns. Just
who?
I said that. Was it Sashi Brown?
Sashi Brown.
Yeah.
Who's that?
He was a general manager before Dorsey.
Yeah, oh, okay. With the Browns.
anyways. Randy, yeah, what do you think?
I concur with Ronda Rousey. I think she sets up a good match at WrestleMania.
Okay. All right. Then let's talk about the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship match, Asuka versus Becky Lynch. DJ Joey Blaze, what do you think?
The last two SmackDowns, they've kicked it off with Becky Lynch. Like, she is so over and just keeps getting more and more over. And to not give her the title back, I don't see what's going to happen to do that. I really don't know how to call it. Do you want to take any momentum that you're trying to give to Asuka? Because Asuka had all this momentum and she... lost for no reason, in my opinion, to Charlotte. So are you trying to get her momentum back, or do you keep this going with Becky? So I think the only thing that can happen here is some sort of schmoz ending maybe a disqualification where the title doesn't change hands. But it's got to do something to keep the momentum going with Becky and to still keep the momentum going, I guess, or what little you're trying to build with Asuka. So I'm going to say, in a weird way, Becky wins by disqualification.
Ren, what do you think?
I think Becky wins clean. I think that there are enough high-quality women wrestlers right now that Asuka can get momentum back quickly.
I'm going to agree with you,
but
Ren.
But there might be, but they had her teaming with
Naomi.
With Naomi, and I was like, what the heck? Like, she's squandering right now. So she's finally in a good feud, and she's doing this. And I think Becky can get over now without having that title. And if they're going to go towards doing stuff more with the horsewomen, or maybe if they do put her over and do the women title versus women's title, Becky versus Ronda at Mania, maybe something like that. I don't know. I just don't. You got too many things going between those two right now, and that's why I say it's a disqualification or no title change.
I agree with you, Rand. I think Becky Lynch wins. I think you, because she's just got so much momentum, that I think that you would be really foolish not to put it on her. I agree with you.
But does she need, that title on her? Like, I think she's better when she's kind of chasing it and giving these promos being a badass.
Maybe.
Because when she had the title, they didn't know how to use her. They had her kind of doing the powdering and the kind of cowardly kind of little back downs a couple times. And now she's going after it. So she's more the man.
Sure.
When you call yourself the man, I don't think you need the title to prove it.
Well, and you make valid points. I just don't think it's going to go down that way. I think that, and I don't think that there's any forethought to having Asuka somewhere back down in the mid card. Why that is, I don't know. I don't know, but I have a feeling that the WWE would say, well, you know, Asuka is fine on her own. We'll put her in the mid card. She can get involved in some other types of feud. Maybe with Sonya Deville, or maybe with Mandy Rose, or, well, maybe not Mandy Rose, because I don't think Asuka has a husband, so there can't be any of that weird tech. Can we just talk about this minute? Because I we're going to go off a tangent. That whole storyline with Mandy Rose and Jimmy Uso was ridiculously stupid. I don't think it works anymore in 2019. I mean, it worked in the 80s, but this just doesn't work for me.
I think that they barked up the wrong tree with it. Now,
meaning,
I think that feud would be better if it was Brie and Daniel Bryan.
Yes. Okay.
Because of their relationship.
Okay.
I don't think you look at Naomi and Jimmy as in the same light when it comes to it. I think if it worked with a more predominant couple, maybe.
Okay.
And they stretched it out. They told a story in two SmackDowns. Which, you know what I'm saying? And like the whole like, oh, they'll never know. Bitch, you're on television. Like, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
We can see past that. Maybe have wrote the story differently. So there's critiquing it, I think it could have some ground. I just don't think they did it right.
What other couple would you use? Miz and Maryse? The other Bella and Cena? Maria and...
Well, Kanellis's might be gone.
Right. But I'm saying that's one of the few couples that you have.
Rusev and Lana, which they try to do that the opposite way,
right,
and they failed at doing that. I think there's ways of telling the story where it worked better. I think it worked great with, if they're going to do this, they should have built Miz as a face first before teaming him, and they could have had a nice little run that he teams and turns. But like, I think that would work really well because Maryse can play the pissed off woman great. A lot better. Naomi can't play a character. Now, the glow thing's stupid. Go back to being a Funkadactyl. You're a great worker. You just, anything outside of that.
Here was the thought that went through my mind the whole time. And I know this is also probably going to be controversial. Why not do some twin magic? Like when Mandy Rose invited Jimmy up, why don't you just send Jay?
See, I thought they were going to do that too, right?
Yeah, is Jay married? We don't know because there's never been a mention as to what the relationship status is for Jay. So we could just assume he's single, he can go up, and then Jimmy could knock on the door and say, gotcha, bitch.
And then what they could have done too is, being 2019, they could have said that he could have came in and said, hey, you know you want to be with me? I can help get you better places on the card.
Ooh,
and been like a,
yeah.
I mean, that's been a hot button if they're trying to push. Because see, that's the one thing that I see the way they're going, because they were never TVMA when it was the Attitude Era, but they did everything they could to walk right against that line.
Right.
I see what they're trying. I think what they're trying to do now is with PG-13 is I think they're trying to walk that line without crossing it.
Right.
And I think something like that might be a little bit more spicier for the. I don't know. I thought that would be. I think it'd be interesting. I think people probably get mad.
I think if you do it that way, Mr. Uso is the heel, or he's offering to Mandy, and she becomes the victim. I think the way they're doing it now is Mandy is the aggressor, and therefore the heel.
But why not do it that way, and then it causes some friction between the Usos, do something different with them, instead of everybody going to, because he could have came up and said, yeah, you come in the Uso penitentiary, I'm going to, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like they could have played out, they could have made the angle so much better, like Twin Magic done something, but they cut it too short, and it was just bad.
It was just awful all the way around.
But anyways, so going back to that, so that was all tied into that whole SmackDown women's
division match, yes. Anyways.
We really took the detour on that.
We took the scenic route.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Could have went 70. We took 270. For those listening in Columbus, Ohio, you get that. All right. Billings, Montana, which we have a large following. I'm sure you wouldn't know what that means. So.
Yeah. No one in Montana is listening right now.
Oh,
sorry. South Dakota. Yeah. I have a listener in South Dakota. Whoever you are, thank you.
Yeah,
as well as somebody in Ireland and somebody in Brazil.
Enjoying your -40-degree weather there in South Dakota.
I'm just going to brag. The Quebec people, they love me.
Yeah.
Got a lot of listeners in Quebec.
Rene Dupree loves you. Pat Patterson loves you.
Hey, man.
Dino Bravo loves you.
Hey, he's dead. Yeah. He's dead. Too soon.
I was going to say...
Rick Martel.
The Quebecers.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I want to hang out with
Rick Martel, Hall of Fame?
For this year? I mean, the rumor is Bam Bam Bigelow.
Which that's probably deservedly later, so. Different podcast.
Okay, different podcast. All right, here's the match that should be on the kickoff show. The Fatal 4-Way for the Cruiserweight Championship. You got Buddy Murphy, the champion, defending against Akira Tozawa, Atami, and Kalisto.
So what we need to do, NXT, is we need to just build characters. They're just going to send you to 205 Live. In essence, that's kind of what they did. Look what they've done with Hideo Itami. Remember all the fanfare he had coming into NXT and how he had this big feud with the Ascension coming in? You know how they did the Ascension. It's obvious what they did with them when they brought him up. But he was supposed to be a big deal. He gets injured, and now he's in this obscure thing.
Yeah.
Buddy Murphy makes a great champion. Tozawa had a run. What's it's another whole thing. Kalisto, is he on Raw? Is he on 205 Live? What's going on with that? Anyways, we want to get an idea who's going to win. I'm putting my money on Itami because they need to give him the belt.
I'm just sticking with the champ, Buddy.
I'm going to go with Tozawa. Only because I really do, out of the four, he's the only one that I really like and I find entertaining. I do like Akira Tozawa.
But see, that's going back to my whole point with Becky. So Tozawa has a character that can get over without a title.
True.
Buddy Murphy needs a title to get over, in my opinion, because he's, even though he's doing whatever he is doing to Alexa Bliss, he still needs personality to go with that. So he doesn't have that, so he has that title. The one I see, but like Itami, he needs a title.
Yeah,
like
I agree.
If anybody needs it, he needs it. That's why my prediction goes that way.
And Kalisto doesn't need it because he has Lucha Botch Party. Lucha House Party.
Yeah, that's a good name for it with those stupid pinatas.
Yes, I agree. All right, so then let's talk about...
So who did you pick again?
He picked Buddy Murphy. Picked Buddy Murphy.
So we all have different picks.
Different picks on that one. Make it interesting.
Is that the tiebreaker?
I'm sure that match I'll miss because it'll be on at 6:30, and I will be probably just remembering to turn on
the
TV.
Coming right after supper. 4:30 in the afternoon.
Well, it depends on what time catering gets around to bringing us the food.
That's true.
How about the...
Did you notice he gave them the night off tonight? I said nobody's brought us anything in here.
Didn't get valet parking tonight off, did he?
Hey. With the government shutdown, all right, I couldn't afford to have catering come today, okay?
I think it was wrong that the guy outside was beating the drum in my face. That was wrong.
As soon as you walked in, I thought he was starting something. But so are you saying that with the PVD cast, are you going to still give a State of the Union?
The State of the Cast?
The State of the Cast.
I will be giving the State of the Cast next week.
Cast of the Union. Podcast of the Union.
All right.
Current events.
There you go. You got female fashion, you got wrestling, and you got current events, and a little bit of politics mixed in. This is a very well-rounded PVD guest episode.
Small bit of geography.
Small bit of geography as well. Thank you, Rand. So what about our SmackDown SmackDown match for the WWE Championship. You got AJ Styles against Daniel Bryan. I think that this is going to be a fantastic match, as the other ones have been. I think they've done a pretty decent way in which they built it. DJ Joey Blaze, what do you think?
I totally agree. It's going to, if the match, first of all, the match has to be at least a half hour. It's going to be a good spot. It's going to be great back and forth. It's going to be a old school Ring of Honor type of feel to it. You know, and I'm really excited for that. I'm really, and the build up to it's been cool. Like SmackDown last night, I love Daniel Bryan's promo. He's the champion of the planet.
Yes.
So he could come out with Captain Planet at his corner. And that, oh God, I hated that show. Anyways, I see Daniel Bryan retaining.
I do too. I do too.
I see something happening though to where he gets it illegally. He wins the match illegally, whether low blow or something, which will set up one more match with them, I think, in Elimination Chamber, and then obviously it'd be something different at Mania.
Rand, what do you think?
I agree. I think the vegan villain.
Ooh. That's a good one.
I made that up.
That's good.
Yeah. I think he's like...
Next week when it's on SmackDown, you know that they listen to this cast. Yes. You know it.
Hashtag DFTL. Put that on there, too.
He's like the smartass that is so carried away with himself that he wants to inflict his views on you.
Yes.
And you start to resent that.
Yes. Yes. And he's had that streak all along. I remember 2006, I saw him and Lance Storm wrestle out in Chicago for Ring of Honor.
I bet that was a lot of personality at that time in that ring.
Dude, there was at that time because he cut an amazing promo making fun of Samoa Joe. He had come out earlier in the show making fun of Samoa Joe. It was great. He's always had it. I'm glad that they're giving him a chance to showcase it. And I agree with you, Rand. He's such a uppity, put my views on you type of heel. It's something refreshing. It's something awesome.
It's different. Yeah, nobody else has ever done it before.
Yeah. I have a dream scenario for what would happen with Daniel Bryan and the Royal Rumble that I think now would be a perfect time to share.
Go ahead.
This is not happening whatsoever. I mean, it's 99% not happening, but I think it would be so wicked cool that, okay, so Daniel retains over AJ Styles. We go to the Royal Rumble, either 26, 27, 28, Daniel Bryan comes out. Daniel Bryan wins the Royal Rumble. He has the championship. He goes on to challenge whoever wins the Universal title in a title-for-title merging of those two belts because... Oh, why are you signing?
No, I'm agreeing with you because they need to.
They need to.
Oh my God, I've been talking about this forever too. Go ahead.
This is why. Now it has to happen because you've just now announced you're going to have women tag team titles. But guess what? You only get one set of belts. So what does that say? That says that those belts don't mean shit. So you take the world titles, you combine them. You take the women's titles, you combine them. And there you go. And then you focus on SmackDown, you have the U.S. title. That's what you focus on because the world champ goes back between both brands. On Raw, you focus on the IC belt. You can make some new mid-card belts if you need them, you know?
So my whole thing I've been up on that train for a while because you get the U.S. title as the main one, the Intercontinental title.
Yes.
And maybe bring back a TV title and European title or something like that.
That's exactly here. These are the ideas I wrote down. You can make a WWE Network title, which would be nothing more than a TV belt.
Mm-hmm.
There you
totally
go.
Totally agree.
Cruiserweight belt can go to Raw for the time being, and then if you still need two more, bring back like the European title or bring back the Hardcore title.
You'll never see those again.
Or how about Intercontinental tag belts? It could be a secondary
tag.
Like the
U.S. tag belt.
Right, exactly. Do something like that.
Yeah, I thought it was stupid, too, when they announced it's only going to be one set of women's tag belts will be on both brands. It's really annoying. I've been on that train for so long, and I would love your dream scenario. Rand has something to say, but I have another dream scenario
for
you.
Let's go to Rand first.
It's not like we've seen the champ on Monday night lately.
You're talking about somebody that's harping on something. He's harped on that for a long time.
I put it out on many tweets, and I get positive responses.
No, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely
it's
correct.
It's kind of like a if it was on a two-hour show on Tuesday, it'd be different. But that's a three-hour show on Monday without the top...
Champ. Your main guy.
Without basically a main event.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say the top 1%. He's been on Raw the last couple weeks.
Not saying much, which that's another rant for another time.
His mic works is one of the best things about him.
I know. And how they finally used Lacey Evans this past week, finally, Heavy Machinery finally got a match, which
they're crazy.
My hot take on that is I'm sorry, I don't get Heavy Machinery. I don't. I'm sorry. I just.
So I can I give my take?
Okay. I'm sorry. We've gotten off on a.
So major my dream scenario was before they put Finn Balor in the match we're going to talk about.
Okay.
So mine was all Strowman.
Okay.
So my dream scenario was that Balor wins the Rumble. Okay. And the main event was AJ and Daniel Bryan. So AJ and Daniel Bryan go at it. They're going at it. Here comes Gallows and Anderson and be in AJ's corner. No. I want to send you guys the back. Say, I don't need you. Okay. They're going back and forth. Well, here comes... Well, why is Balor out here? Oh, he's former... He used to be with the BC or whatever. He does a schmoz which causes AJ Styles to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Or causes AJ Styles to win, but turns on him after the match.
Mm-hmm.
Balor still wins the Rumble, setting up a match with the new... With him... And then put him with Gallows and Anderson back again. Recreate the Bullet Club. So you're bringing back that whole...
So it would be Styles on one side versus Balor, Carl Anderson, and Luke Gallows.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So you're bringing back the factions a little bit more and then setting up a match, Balor versus AJ, or flip it out some other way, but putting Balor in a match for the world title.
Yeah.
The heavyweight title. I thought about that a couple different ways because I think it'd be a great way that they could have done some things with the... If they're trying to push the Attitude Era a little bit, to bring back a faction like that.
Yeah.
Or like, so you could do it the other way, and he comes out and he would help AJ Styles win, and all of a sudden, you know, or he tries to help AJ Styles, whatever, but they reform the Bullet Club. So I think they could have done a couple different things. My dream scenario isn't as cool as yours, because I'd love to see all the titles back like that, but whatever. Anyways, so back to who I... So we even said who we thought retains? I said Daniel Bryan retains, right?
In a schmoz. Yes, I believe
okay.
So.
I say Daniel Bryan. You say Daniel Bryan. Okay, so we're all unanimous on that one. Yeah, we again
going to your dream scenario. Would Vince ever allude to somebody else's alliance that was created? Well, it couldn't have been created because it didn't happen in the WWE.
They've teased it enough.
Yeah, they have. I mean,
we're in an era where there's enough internet knowledge that
I think that they
knows that these other groups, because 10 years ago they would never have mentioned.
No, but I think the times are different, Rand, and I think that they would allude to all these four have been. Friends and partners in Japan, you know.
Throughout the world is the phrase they normally use.
Right, yeah.
And you know it means Orlando.
Right. And I mean...
He's right here.
So what about Finn Balor and Brock Lesnar, that match? What do you think happens there?
I think it's really similar, not as much like kind of similar to Daniel Bryan, where with the match he had with him, where he beats him down, there's a comeback, and then Lesnar wins because I don't see any scenario. Now, they had good match in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Balor and Lesnar, but I just don't see Balor putting that Universal title back on Balor.
I'm going to go on the opposite end. I'm going to say that somehow, in some weird, fluky way, Balor wins. And he wins the Universal title back because I feel like they're giving Finn a little bit of momentum. I think the fact that he made that comment about how Vince has never liked him and never appreciated him, I think that was a little like... A little wink that maybe they're gonna prove that, you know, Vince was wrong and that this guy could do it, and I think that, you know, it would satisfy a lot of fans.
And they've been trying to get a push for him. I originally thought if they didn't put him in that match that he was gonna win the Rumble. That was gonna be my call for the person to win the Rumble.
Okay.
So, but I thought that was the way he was gonna get it. But
is it more likely Finn wins the match if he comes out dressed as the Demon?
Well, you know what? That's an interesting take, Rand. I mean, because that they've alluded to how that's where he draws his power and strength from in that whole kind of storyline. Maybe. We haven't seen the Demon in forever, have we?
Is that something that Finn does in his second or third match against Brock?
I don't think we're going to see a second or third
match. No, I don't think so either. I think this will be one and done. I mean, I don't even know what Lesnar's contract status is either on this.
Well, I'm sure you could consult with your friend Dave Meltzer.
Okay, enough.
All these contracts.
Anywho. Well, then, let's talk here about the women's Royal Rumble match. All right, first of all, who do you think is going to win, and what surprises do you think might happen?
But did you say who you thought was going to win the main event?
I thought...
Lesnar and...
I'm sorry.
Oh, I think if... I'm going to make it conditional. If Finn comes out with the paint, he wins.
Okay.
If not, he loses.
There you go. Place your bets.
Okay. There you go. I'm sorry, Rand.
That's an interesting prop bet. Take that to Vegas.
There you go.
RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, baby. By the way, RJ Bell, Ohio State.
Are you serious?
I don't make stuff up, Junior.
Wow. I didn't realize they were just on the radio on the way in.
I love that show.
I mean,
cross promotion.
I think it's nice that, you know, the limo that he used to send for me had XM in there, but I had to listen to the local radio station tonight on the drive in.
I don't find anything here as to what
I'm pretty sure it's like a per appearance type of deal. I think he had so many appearances, like, and I think his appearances are about up again.
Yeah, because right here doesn't say anything other than, you know, he has not yet signed a UFC contract. It says here, let's see, the Beast will have, but that's kind of old.
See, and here's the thing, too. Dana White and Vince, mm-hmm. kind of in bed together with some things. I don't see, if he's trying to use Lesnar in UFC again, I don't see him losing to Finn Balor, to a smaller guy.
He's saying it makes him look weak to go back to UFC?
Yes, exactly.
But then can't Dana just use his usual, well, it's not real wrestling.
But what could happen is Strowman could interfere.
Right. Yeah, sure, sure, sure.
And then he could win that one.
As I said, some type of fluky thing. It's not going to be, Strowman causes some type of distraction and then the coup de grace and there you go.
Maybe lifts a ring up and flips it or something. Because he does all these crazy acts of strength.
Strength. Okay, how about the Women's Royal Rumble? Who do you think is going to win? What surprises do you see?
But why don't we know some of these surprises going in? We don't. They haven't.
They've listed a handful of young ladies.
Like 8 or 9 people that are going to be in.
Yeah, and by the way, why not just hold on to Alexa Bliss until Sunday? Why announce it on Monday? Because
make that a good surprise.
Yes, that pop would have been extreme.
What I would have done is I'd have had her come out instead of ringside.
As if she was doing a moment of bliss. Yeah. Have her then.
Yeah, or guest commentary.
Guest commentary, and then all of a sudden, number 25. Well, I guess that's my number.
Yeah,
and then she hops in the ring. And
that's a very good impression
of
her.
Or she could have been a 10.
There's only one 10.
Well, that's in the men's side.
He'll probably be a surprise in the men's one again, by the way. But anyway.
Who do you think wins? Who do you think wins?
Oh, God, this is such a tough one this year.
I don't. I think it's pretty cut and dry.
You think Charlotte Flair?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. So they can build the four horsewoman thing like we've been talking about.
I see that, but then I kind of look at it from a different angle because it depends on, you know, you're going to use or you bring who are you bringing back, what surprises, like, and what could be surprises that pops us? Like, I mean, I guess the Charlotte Flair thing is great. I was going to say, are they going to stick with somebody like a Nia Jax or somebody that can't be thrown out? Like, it's hard telling what they do because they make the stupidest decisions. But surprise-wise, I don't know. Like, haven't we seen?
Has Victoria been around yet?
See, I was just watching.
That's who I was going to pick.
She had a live video on Instagram, and I just straight up asked her the question. I go, are you going to be at the Rumble? And a couple other people then kind of chimed in after that, and she said, no, she's not.
All right. Unless she's trying to work you all. Marks.
She could work me.
Oh. Rand, who do you think wins?
I picked Charlotte.
He picked Victoria. Yeah. He's got that on. See? Widow's peak freak.
All right, so you say Charlotte as well. I just think it makes sense. I think my idea for Mania is I think they're going to push Charlotte and Ronda again, and then the four horsewomen get involved, you know, somehow. The four horsewomen as in, you know, Shafir, Duke, and Baszler get involved in that match. And then that hopefully will spring something through the summer where Charlotte Flair tries to convince Becky, Sasha, and Bayley to join her, and then we maybe at SummerSlam have the 4-on-4 match.
I was thinking that would take longer and maybe wind up at Survivor Series.
Maybe, yeah, okay, even that.
That's
a
long time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not that the WWE does a lot of slow builds anymore, but, you know. All right, well, how about the Men's Royal Rumble? Surprises?
I'm waiting for you with surprises. Who do you see?
Oh, surprise! I said Victoria. I thought that would be a surprise in the women's.
What about Wendi Richter?
That one's never going to happen. Yeah. Ever. I don't
think
so.
She's a little upset.
Still.
30 years later.
Maybe the spider lady.
Yeah, it'd be. They're going to reanimate a corpse.
Well, you could put somebody under that hood.
That would be funny.
That would be, wouldn't it? If it was the spider lady.
Yeah.
But
I don't see them using any comedy for women's stuff.
It would have to be real early in the match.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any surprises, Rand, for the women's Royal Rumble?
I'll throw in Trish Stratus.
That's a possibility.
Not to win, but as a surprise.
Yeah, answer. Right. Same with me with my pick for Victoria. All right, how about the men's Royal Rumble? Who do you think wins?
Who do you have winning?
I'm not going to go too long of a shot. I'm going to go Drew McIntyre.
Ooh, why do you think that? Because he's the chosen one of Vince McMahon.
I think the build's 10 years there. Ago. I think he hasn't had a clean loss in a long time.
True.
I think the build's been there, whether it's upfront and personal, but I mean, it's there.
I don't see him headlining a WrestleMania right now. No offense to him. I think he's a great hand. They're just delivering everything right now to Seth Rollins on a silver platter. And they're building him and building this, you know, they're building it into stuff. He's basically assuming the Roman Reigns role. Then that's going to go back to, who do I see as a surprise? Maybe we see Roman Reigns in the Rumble.
Really?
It would be amazing if we did.
Okay.
You can be in the Royal Rumble for a minute or two.
Yeah,
And have five or six people attack you to get you out. Low impact.
But we know who we won't see. We won't see Jericho this year.
No. I said Seth Rollins too. It was going seriously, not with my dream idea.
You have a dream scenario?
I just
for the Rumble?
I shared it. The Daniel Bryan wins.
Yeah, well, I thought you might have another one.
No, I don't have another one.
So my surprise, you just talked, just be in the ring for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan.
I was saying Hogan was on my list of surprises.
Really?
I think you see Hogan in the Rumble. If Hogan is spotted in Phoenix, he's in the Rumble.
Okay. I also had Kevin Owens, Sammy.
Kevin Owens is still not healed up. But yeah.
Velveteen Dream.
I would like to see him in the Rumble.
See, here's who I had for my surprises was the Undisputed Era.
All four of them.
That was going to be my surprise that they would all four of them make it. But Hulk Hogan, wow, that's a big one.
Batista.
You know, I would not be surprised at that one because there has been something with
Triple H. How Triple H had never beaten Batista.
Well, there's been rumors that they were talking to him about one more run.
And they were talking about a Mania match between the two if Triple H is healed up. If not, Randy Orton will take that spot and be Randy and Batista.
I think he just started training again.
Yeah, I read that.
Triple H did?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
But I had Kane, John Morrison. We don't know about Kenny Omega. We don't know about
Lars
Sullivan.
Oh.
Aleister Black.
I think that might be a one that's a surprise.
Who?
Aleister Black, because I don't think he beats... Well, are we going to talk about
it? Yeah, we're going to talk about it. We can talk about it right now.
I think he's going to beat Ciampa, so I think that's going to be his last match. And then,
see, I'm thinking that they put the belt back on Aleister Black. Look, I'm going to be very honest to all the listeners out there. I have not watched NXT since the last TakeOver. I really have because, okay, let's just be honest. There's too much now. I mean, you have Raw, SmackDown, NXT, NXT UK, New Japan now because I'm just now getting on my cable provider. I'm just now getting Access TV, so now I have New Japan to watch. Wow, I mean Ring of Honor. There's too much to watch.
A ton on to watch for sure.
Yeah, so I have not watched NXT. I don't know too much of the storyline there, but I wouldn't be surprised if they put it back on Black.
I think they're gonna keep it on Ciampa. I think Black shows up in the Rumble. And I like the idea of Velveteen Dream showing up in the Rumble too.
That's a pretty good one, yeah.
Is there a chance the NXT champ shows up with a belt to say, "Hey, I'm legitimate" when he gets into the ring?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because Owen showed up with it on Raw that one time.
So yeah, since we're talking about that, the NXT Championship, we alluded to this earlier. We also have the women's title, Shayna Baszler taking on Bianca Belair.
Real quick, you're Rollins, I'm Rollins, he's McIntyre.
Yes, okay. Yes, sorry. Boy, it's been one of those ADHD type of episodes. I'm sorry about that, but it is what it is, man.
Hey, just DFTL.
That's part of the Rumble. The Rumble
that's right.
Being a 30-person match, you've got all these permutations and computations of what could happen.
There you go.
I mean, it's different chances.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah.
I was kind of...
This episode is very harem, scarum, helter-skelter, like the Royal Rumble is, because of all the action going on. Anywho, let's move on.
I do have some facts about the Royal Rumble.
All right, we'll get to those here in a minute. Let's polish this off. Baszler against Bianca Belair. DJ Joey Blaze.
I have no idea how this match happened. I can see them building.
You look. Bianca. Wait, people at home. What you don't know is DJ Joey Blaze, while describing this, looks like he's hungover. Like it's so painful to even talk about this match.
Well, I'm nervous. Like women's matches are always top notch on these shows, and I'm nervous about this matchup.
Is Bianca Belair still using her hair as a weapon?
Which is the stupidest
things ever. Like what they should do when she does that with Baszler, Baszler should just rip those extensions out of her head. I think that would be hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
But if there's any doubt that Baszler doesn't win this, I don't know what your guys are out there smoking. Yeah, I go with Baszler.
Baszler.
All right, how about the Undisputed Era defend the tag team titles against War Raiders, Rowe and Hanson? And this is probably going to be a really, really good match.
Oh, it's going to be a great match.
Yes.
Especially after the War Games.
Mm-hmm.
Match they had. There's so much momentum. See, and it's so crazy that you sit there and you talk about how the big leagues don't take the time to draw out a scenario or a storyline or tell what's going on. But NXT, they do it old school like that, and they tell that story. This has been such a story with the War Raiders bringing in different people to help them to go against the Undisputed Era that the payoff is going to be the War Raiders capturing the tag titles.
Do you think that build-up pace difference is because of TV versus internet?
No, they have this, they have an hour less TV, but still, I think that one of the things with NXT is they further their storylines with the internet better than the big leagues do too.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that.
And you just say you missed so many weeks of NXT, but you can miss it and still catch up on their social media and figure out exactly what's going on.
Yeah, I agree.
You miss out on some really good action because there's some great matches. There's been some good matches on NXT lately. The build has been done very well for this, and I like I said, I'm taking the War Raiders.
Rand, do you have an opinion on this match?
War Raiders.
All right. And I go too. I think the War Raiders do win.
And I'm still going to be a Raiders fan when they move to Las Vegas.
No, when they're the War Vegas Aiders.
Vegas Raiders.
That was a very bad joke. But
sorry.
On the same token, though, Rand is an NXT aficionado. He sits there, not only watches the show once, 2 to 3 times sometimes, making sure he gets in all the... So I would definitely take his stuff to the bank, his prediction.
This is from a guy who has to watch Wheel of Fortune twice.
Oh, we're throwing out the zingers tonight.
It's something about that Vanna White girl. She's got something going.
Hey, we also have an NXT North American Championship match in which Ricochet, the champ, defends against Johnny Gargano. I think that they keep the belt on Ricochet. I'm sorry. I think he's money right now, so I don't see them having him drop the belt. But is this the first match with these two? I guess that's where my ignorance of what's happened on NXT TV comes
for the
in.
Title, I believe. Yeah.
Yes.
So,
okay.
I definitely see Ricochet going over. I see them, you know, building the storyline a little bit better because he's got two guys that can just work their ass off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this could be one that gets a lot of money in a feud like this. So I could see, because Gargano's either face or heel, he's always at his best when he's gunning for a title.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's gunning for something, see, I say Ricochet goes over.
I think this is like the first of 5 or 6 matches.
I would agree with that. Even
if it's a DQ.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. And then the last advertised match, of course, the King of the Bros, Matt Riddle. He'll be taking on Cassius Ohno, which hopefully this match will be better than the first one that lasted all of, 8 seconds or whatever.
Well, I think it's kind of a passing of the torch. And to an extent.
To an extent,
I know Riddles is a striker, but they're pretty similar.
Yeah.
Similar look, similar this, that, and the other. And we all know that Cassius is there. And I've been a Chris Hero fan for so long. But he's there. He's the old man. He's there to put these guys over and get them to a certain point. And I think the match is going to tell a good story.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's going to be... I think it has a chance, when you go against all these matches on the show, it has a chance maybe to be match of the night. Because Riddle has something to prove.
Yeah.
You know, because he really has got out there and shown everything he can do. And if anybody can get it out of him,
it's Cassius.
Ohno.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree with you. Riddle goes over. I mean, there's no too cool. I don't think anybody doesn't think that. So,
Rand. NXT Rand.
Pure pressure on me. I agree.
He agrees.
Speaking of which, here's a little.
Yes.
No.
You are correct, Seth.
You are correct.
So Triple H has been scouting possible international performance center locations.
Well, they just opened the one in England.
Yeah.
With NXT UK.
Right.
See, I don't understand that. Like, I would just focus on 2 at the most and run with it and just run. You know,
Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Like, NXT China or NXT India. Like, okay. Like, it's cool, but like, I think they're trying too hard.
They should focus on an NXT West Coast. Like I said, man. That's what you need. If you're going to make a territory out of NXT, UK, East Coast, West Coast.
And then focus, like, bring people from overseas, like in Japan, and put them in West Coast.
Yeah, there you go.
I get that.
Yeah, they could run. They could even, yeah. Or even, and when I say West Coast, I mean, they could even stretch up in the BC, British Columbia, and that. Yeah. Maybe do some of that up there, you know?
But I think NXT West Coast has to be out of California, let's be honest.
Yeah, no, it has to be based there. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it, like some of these obscure places that they're saying that he might be looking. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Rand, do you have any facts you want to drop on us about the Royal
Rumble? Oh, I got facts.
Oh, well, let's go.
Research team is in the basement working hard.
All right.
Since the late 80s, over 30 Royal Rumbles, there have been 370 entrants. It's an average of 10 new a year.
Which, can I throw out a cheap plug real quick? Brian Zane, the host of Wrestling With Regret, has an episode that dropped, I believe, last week, where he talks about and counts down the top 8 obscure Royal Rumble surprises in the history of it. Number one, it's three individuals or three particular people all in the same Royal Rumble. I believe it's from 95. I don't remember any of them.
That was when the Luger and Davey Boy split, wasn't it? 95. Sean won it.
Yeah. Who so, one of them, I'll be honest, is a Japanese fellow. I don't remember who it is. I've never heard of the guy. The other one was Doug Gilbert. And then the other two were the Headhunters from ECW.
Oh, yeah. I remember they came in and then they went right back out.
Yes.
And they walked. Almost kind of like Bushwhacker-esque.
Yep. Yeah, and I forget who the Japanese dude was. It wasn't like, I mean, because I know that they've used Tenryu. And I know. And he was also on that list. I can't remember what the guy, because he was like a 20-year-old upstart from Japan. And that was the only thing he ever did in the WWE. And then he was gone. But here, real quickly, cheap plug. Go find that on YouTube, Brian Zane, top 8 most obscure Royal Rumble reference.
Is he related to Sammy?
No, he is not related to Sammy, no, unfortunately. Okay. Or fortunately, I don't know, depending on your take.
There have been 3 women in the Rumble.
China, Beth Phoenix, and...
Molly Holly?
Karma.
Oh, yeah, Karma, yeah.
All 3 of those women threw somebody out.
Uh-huh, okay.
There have been 9 people who eliminated himself. The most notable being Andre when Jake the Snake opened his bag and the snake came out.
Oh.
Andre went over.
Yeah.
The least Royal Rumble worthy would be our boy Drew Carey.
That's the one I was going to mention.
When Kane came to the ring.
That was a nice payday for him.
Kane has been in 17 matches, the most. And he has eliminated the most people, but he's never won. In 1988, it was only 33 minutes, which is the shortest Rumble, because there were only 20 people involved.
And was that the one on USA? That was the one on USA Network,
No,
right?
That was the second one.
Okay. All right.
Which was on 8 Hall of Famer Jim Duggan won over Field of 20.
Okay.
In 2009, when the Big Show, who was number 30, went in the ring, there were 15 people in the ring, which is the most at any time ever.
Really? No, that's an interesting fact.
Yeah, I
would. I would never have thought about that.
Kane has eliminated 43 people, by the way. January 17th, 1994, an unofficial Royal Rumble took place. Madison Square Garden. No TV, no pay-per-view. Owen Hart won the match.
Really? I did not know that.
Interesting.
Now, by the way, real quickly, is the greatest Royal Rumble considered a Royal Rumble in your opinion?
Did you consider it now?
No, it's not.
It's definitely not the greatest. Who created the Royal Rumble?
Pat Patterson.
Very good.
Don't mess with me, Junior.
So two different Pat Patterson references. So this 95 Rumble didn't have the Headhunters. I don't know which year it is, but it did feature...
Maybe it was 96 then.
At number 27, Dick Murdoch.
Yeah, Dick Murdoch's on Brian Zane's countdown.
Well, I was like, I'm just sitting here going through a couple of these. Timothy Well, but they were there tagging at the time. Yeah. But here, this will get you to buy the pay-per-view. The opening match on the pre-show... Buck Quartermain defeated the Brooklyn Brawler at the 1995 Rumble.
I'm popping that on the network as soon as you guys leave. I'm watching that one. I'm Buck, like, Quartermain.
Like, what the heck?
I think 3 or 4 years ago, Rob Van Dam was a one and out where he came and did the Rumble and didn't have...
Yeah, well, a lot of these surprises are a quick one because, you know, I don't want to ruin it, but Brian Zanos have pointed out Dick Murdoch, Karma, Carlos Colon,
yeah.
Mil Mascaras. There were a couple of other of the luchadors that were in one that was down in San Antonio. I think that was 92, maybe. So there's been some really oddball ones, but I think they're, you know, they're one and done.
I've got a list of people who have never been in.
Who have never been in the Royal Rumble.
Curt Hawkins.
Oh, well, that'll change this year.
350 matches, never been in a Rumble.
All right.
Funaki.
Oh, man.
Number one announcer.
Yeah.
Shane. 1991 was a referee, but never been in the match. Luke Gallows, as Festus, has never been in the match. Sting has never been in the match. Brian Pillman.
Is Sting clear to go?
I don't have any idea, because
that would be a great surprise entry. That just would to do be. Like a couple minutes just yeah, to pop be. The crowd.
Yeah, that would be.
Ricky Steamboat.
You know who else would make a great surprise? David Arquette.
Nope.
Be a surprise.
He'd be a surprise.
The Dynamite Kid.
Okay.
Scott Hall as Razor Ramon has not been in.
But has he been
but
in as
a fake Diesel has the fake Razor was in.
There you have it.
Which is also Kane.
So the Headhunters at that time were called the Squat Team.
Yes, yes, yes,
and
the Squat
then
Team.
The name of the Japanese wrestler you speak of is Takeo Omori.
Right, I've never heard of that guy.
And the blue hell is that.
Anyway,
but he's not in the Blue World Order.
Very few people
but
are.
But also okay. In that match, sorry, I know we're probably cut for time.
We're getting real close to time, but go ahead, let's hear it.
At number eight in that Rumble, probably had to be come down to wheelchair, but Dory Funk Jr.
What?
Was
Dory
entrant
Funk was
number
in a Rumble.
Eight in that Rumble.
Oh, man. Where was Doug Gilbert?
Number 14.
Number 14.
Him and Squat Teamer number one was eliminated by Vader.
Okay.
Squad Teamer 2 by Yokozuna.
Okay, there you go. And what year was that, 96?
96.
Okay, all right, well, there you go. Check it out. Giving some love to Brian Zane, because he does do some great work with Wrestling With Regret. DJ Joey Blaze, as we're getting up there to about an hour, you want to tell folks where they can find you on social media?
They feel like doing it. It's at DJ Joey Blaze on Instagram and Twitter. So if you like to use that tweet machine, go right ahead.
Rand, where can people find you on the social medias?
If you know my email, leave me alone. But on Twitter, it's my name, at Rand Dittmar. It's that simple. I won't tell you my secret account, though.
Okay. Well, what's that? You have a top secret account and then a top secret account.
No.
It's at DFTL.
All right. With that, guys, we'll do this again in a couple weeks, see how correct we are or how wrong we are. All right?
Sounds great.
All right. With that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. There you go, ladies and gentlemen, our preview of the Royal Rumble. And hey, maybe you are saying to yourself, some of those predictions are spot on. Some of you might say, man, you guys are way out in left field. Well, you know what? That's cool. Just let me know what you think. And you can do that a variety of different ways. You can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter at pvdmvp. And you could even leave me a message over on the Facebook page of the PVDcast. That, of course, being facebook.com/PVDcast. And you know what? If you love what you hear, why don't you tell a friend or two and say, hey, you can get the PVDcast a variety of different ways. You can find it at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, the Libsyn Podcast Player, the Echo Network, Pod Paradise, or wherever you get your podcasts from. All you got to do is just search for PVDcast. Or sometimes PVDcast, you got to throw my name on there, John Orlando. I don't know why, just because the internet and computers hate me, I guess. I don't know. But if you can't find it by searching just PVDcast, put in PVDcast John Orlando, and you're sure to find it. So with that, I know we've gone incredibly long. I'm going to wrap things up. I appreciate you listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. And until then, stay righteous and stay independent.